Back in 1995, our great Holy Father, Pope John Paul II, addressed the United Nations in New York about the challenges which were facing the world at that time. And one of the greatest challenges that he spoke about was the lack of hope. The 20th century began, said our Holy Father, with great self-confidence and certainty, with great developments in medicine and science and in technology. But then we witnessed a century of sorrow with two great world wars, a protracted Cold War, and more people massacred for political and religious reasons than in all previous centuries combined. The 20th century, which began with such great optimism, actually ended with much fear. And Pope John Paul then described the Christian response to this situation and how the Church wishes to serve the world in our own time. The Christian, said our Holy Father, is meant to bring hope, hope flowing from the fact that the human person is created in the image and likeness of God, hope flowing from the natural endowment that we're given of conscience, freedom, and natural law, which God has written into the heart of every single human being. Hope from God's grace, hope from God's unlimited love for the human race. And Pope John Paul concluded his talk by saying that he had come to the United Nations as a witness for hope. Now, St. Peter, in our second reading, he's basically saying that you and I, each one of us, is supposed to be a witness to hope. And Peter says that we need to be ready to give reasons for our hope to everyone we meet, wherever we might be, even if we could possibly end up our last days dying in a concentration camp. This proclamation of hope is one of the reasons why the gospel is known as the good news. You and I know that there are many people living in fear and pain, in depression, maybe even despair. And fear and despair can come from all kinds of things, like terrorism, or could be problems with illness, difficulties in marriage, family members who don't practice their faith, problems at work or lack of work, or for many other number of things, including to some extent maybe for many of us, our lack of success in living precisely as God wants us to live. But despite everything that can cause us to lose hope and even possibly to begin to lose trust in God, because they're closely connected, St. Peter calls us to be always ready to give an explanation for the hope that is within us to anyone who asks. And the reality is that the challenges that any of us face are certainly not greater than what St. Peter faced. And of course, St. Peter ended up being crucified. So I'd like to focus on those specific reasons for hope that should be planted in each one of our hearts. What is the fundamental reason for our hope? Well, it has nothing to do with our individual talents, our wonderful personalities, our good health, our past deeds or accomplishments, our friends or connections. It doesn't have anything to do with our specific situation in life. The essential reason for our hope is God. And hope is based on the deep conviction that God is faithful to his promises, that he cannot lie, and that he will always give us what is best for us. God loves us each, we know, with an everlasting love from which no human situation or even tragedy, no matter how desperate, could ever separate us. And with St. Paul, we must be ready to say, we know that everything always works out for the good of those who love God. Let me be more specific on some of the fundamental ways our hope, our trust comes from God. Our hope, first of all, is based on God the Father's providential love. We remember in the Sermon on the Mount that Jesus takes aim at our worrying, which can cause us to lose hope. In other words, our worrying about anything basically is a challenge to our hope. Jesus tells us instead to trust in the loving care of his Father and our Father. Jesus basically says that our Heavenly Father knows everything. He knows all that we truly need, and he will give us everything we truly need. Our hope is likewise based on God our Father's mercy. No matter what we've ever done, he loves us with the love of that awesome Father of the prodigal son. There's nothing we've ever done that could cause him to withhold his mercy from us. And the only thing that can prevent us from actually receiving that gift of mercy from God would be our refusal to seek it in the sacrament which Jesus has given us to take away our guilt and despair. The third reason for our hope is the Holy Spirit. The Paraclete, the Advocate, the Helper, the Defender, the Coach, who Jesus has given us, beginning in baptism, and especially then again in the Sacrament of Confirmation. Father Parker told me earlier today that Pope Benedict has used the term that in confirmation, this gift of the Holy Spirit is perfected in us. Now, many people do not have the same relationship with the Holy Spirit as they might with God the Father and with Jesus Christ. So here's a couple of reminders of who the Holy Spirit is by what he does for you and me. The Holy Spirit is the one who fills us with hope by teaching us how to pray. He fills us with hope by making us aware of our dignity as beloved sons and daughters of God. And he convinces us that we are God's children. We are his heirs to everything that he has promised us, especially heaven. And the Holy Spirit makes us hopeful by leading us into all truth, teaching us everything which Jesus promised to his disciples at the Last Supper. And the Holy Spirit does all this in the church and through the church so that we can be certain we are not deceived when we find ourselves in the midst of some darkness. The Holy Spirit lifts up our hearts by reminding us of everything that Jesus has taught us. The Holy Spirit prevents us from forgetting all that Jesus said and did, no matter what the situation is that we might be in. And finally, the Holy Spirit makes us hopeful by allowing us to share in God's life, to share in eternal life, even here in this world. And it's by the power of the Holy Spirit, we might say, by his overshadowing us, that the sacraments are activated in our lives so that, like our Blessed Mother, you and I can become tabernacles of God. Of course, that begins in our baptism. So, why do we have hope? Well, the answer is God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. God is the principal cause and reason for our hope. Salvation history, which is God's past deeds, make us absolutely confident that he will keep all the promises he's made for us. God's living presence within us is the deep source of our hope and joy. All of the problems of the world, whether it's something like terrorism or war or personal trials that can come at any of us, all are actually a direct or indirect result of sin, not necessarily our sin, but they exist because of sin. And despair that can flow from problems occur when we don't respond to them by turning back to God, but rather allow them to drive us away from God, to begin to lose trust in God. Now, St. Peter today, in the second reading, he also exhorts us to keep our consciences clear, and of course in our hearts, to sanctify Jesus Christ as our Lord. So we can say that holiness and hope and trust in God, these things all go together, just like sin and despair go together. And Jesus points to the same reality in the gospel between love of God and keeping the commandments. The commandments, the moral teachings of the church, these are all divine gifts to us. They're basically road signs, you might say, that keep us on the path to heaven. If you love me, Jesus tells us, you'll keep my commandments. Now, some Christians might be tempted to separate Jesus from his word, thinking that we love him as long as we have positive feelings about him, as long as we respect him, or even have an affection for him. But Jesus is quite clear that love is shown in deeds, not just in nice feelings. And his commandments are given to us so that we will be filled with his peace and joy and actually be people of hope. The path of the commandments, the path of sanctifying Jesus Christ as our Lord in our hearts, the path of keeping our consciences clear, this is the way you and I become and live as people of hope. It's the way we give explanation in each of our moral actions of the divine reason for our hope. The reason is God, his love for us, our love for him, in no matter what situation we find ourselves. You know, Pope Benedict pointed to this reality of hope when he became our Holy Father 6 years ago. And here's what Pope Benedict said at his first public mass after becoming Pope at the age of 78, and after earlier remarking about all the anxieties he felt in having to take on the task of the papacy, again at the age of 78. And this is what he said at his first mass after he became Pope. "And now at this moment, weak servant of God that I am, I must assume this enormous task, which truly exceeds all human capacity. How can I do this? How will I be able to do it? All of you, my dear friends, have just invoked the entire host of saints, represented by some of the great names in the history of God's dealings with mankind. In this way, I too can say with renewed conviction, I am not alone. I do not have to carry alone what in truth I could never carry alone. All the saints of God are there to protect me, to sustain me, and to carry me. The church is alive, and we are seeing it. We are experiencing the joy that the risen Lord promised his followers. The church is alive. She is alive because Christ is alive, because he is truly risen." Brothers and sisters, the church is alive because Jesus Christ is alive and because the saints are alive in Christ. And therefore, the church is full of hope. The saints are the great witnesses to us of hope and trust. They are able to help you and me to be ourselves witnesses to hope and trust. Basing their hope on God. And like both Blessed Pope John Paul II and Pope Benedict, you and I are called, with God's help, to be witnesses to hope, grounded on a desire for and trust in the fulfillment of everything that God has promised to us.